Gracious Father in heaven, I wonder if anyone else this morning in this room felt the chill up their spine the way I did as we sang that song about you. And I pray that that experience, for me at least, and anyone else in here, is a portend that you're with us and that you will use this time to prepare us for the rest of the day to know you more, to love you better, and to serve you more effectively. Father, use me in spite of me and give me your words and your thoughts so when it's all done, we can clearly say, we heard Jesus and we saw Jesus. For you and you alone are worthy. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen. Last night we started, and you know, we looked at the spiritual side of teaching. That was part one, and we looked at Matthew 14. And the first thing we did was define the word spirituality. And we used 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 16. And we discovered that the definition from Scripture of spirituality is having the mind of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? And now today, part two is the integrity side of teaching. And I took for the definition Proverbs 20, verse 7. Notice what it says. The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now, the reason I picked this text, because if you will notice, it really doesn't define the word integrity very well. But let me tell you, I will be defining integrity from another story in the Bible shortly. But in the meantime, notice that if you as a teacher have integrity, your children are blessed after you. And it's not just talking about your blood children. In fact, for breakfast this morning, I saw a little baby here. And I know there's a mother of that baby. And this text says that if you have integrity, your child will be blessed. But if you're a teacher and have integrity, those kids sitting in front of you are also your children, and they will be blessed. So let's look at integrity. I want you to take your Bibles. Oh, I forgot to give you the definition from the Greek or the Hebrew. The word integrity in this text, and I looked it up, it's in about 30 different texts in the Old Testament only, this word is found. Completeness. Figuratively, prosperity. Usually, morally, innocence. Full integrity, perfection, simplicity, uprightliness at a venture. But here's the definition I like. Morally innocent. In all phases of the word morality, not just in terms of physical. That's what integrity means. Let's take a look at an example. Part two, the integrity side of teaching. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Daniel, the sixth chapter. One of my favorite stories. Now, Daniel's one of my favorite characters. You know, the reason why is he started out there in Babylon as a teenager. And look at what that teenager accomplished. It's incredible. It's a testimony to his mother and his teachers before he was taken captive. Okay, you got Daniel 6. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them and the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king explained, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. And then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regards to governmental affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no neglect or corruption was to be found in him. I'm telling you, isn't that something? First of all, in verse 2, I want you to know it said that he appointed 3 commissioners, and you look, it says, of whom Daniel was one of them. I looked up that word. It's in Aramaic, by the way, not in Hebrew. And it can mean one, or it can mean the first. It can go either way. And in verse 3, notice it says, first of all, he began to distinguish himself. That Aramaic term means become chief. And it said he had an extraordinary spirit in him. That word means to be preferred, preeminent, excellent. Daniel was incredibly impeccable. And so because of jealousy in the kingdom, these men, the other two who were chosen to be commissioners along with Daniel, as well as the 120 satraps, just writhed at the thought that a heathen from another country would come here and be put over them. And they thought, we know how we're going to deal with this Hebrew who's not one of us. We're gonna look into his past. And we're going to find something. We're going to go straight to the king. And we're going to level this guy and put him in his place. And then we will be the ones who the king will look to. Not this outsider. So I want you to know they hire the very best private investigator they could find. And that investigator dug. I want you to know he broke in to Daniel's office in the wee hours of the morning. And he went through his files. And he looked for something that would prove that he was stealing money or taking money. Or that he was paying off certain rich industrialists and others. And they looked through his phone book and the little black book to see if there were any numbers of any of the women in town that these others knew about. That were illicit. I mean, they did everything they could. They turned over every leaf and they looked in every nook and cranny, and guess what? They couldn't find anything. Now, folks, when I read this, I want to be like Daniel. Because of Jesus, I want to be like Daniel. And you want to know, I'm not always like Daniel. But I want to be like this. Imagine how Jesus felt when he's sitting there in heaven and all the angels are surrounding him. They're watching these scenes transpire and they're seeing the confusion and the disarray of these enemies of Babylon who are attacking his people in total confusion because they have never met someone who was so squeaky clean and yet so proficient at everything he did. Daniel was a man of integrity. And no matter where they looked, they couldn't find. I want to show you what made Daniel a man of integrity. I want you to look again, if you would, at verse 10. Or we didn't read verse 10. I want you to look at verse 10. By the way, you know this story. I've got to cut it short. I don't have enough time. You know what? They came to the conclusion, we can't find anything against Daniel. All right? But we know one thing we can do. And I want you Seventh-day Adventist teachers to get this, please. If we make a law opposed to the law of God, then we're going to force him into a compromising position. And when he sees that if he breaks this law that we make, he's going to lose his position, he'll back down like all the rest of us. He'll compromise just like all the rest of us. But notice, it had to be a law that's against God's law. Notice what it says. And when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in the roof chambers, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before God as he had been doing previously. In other words, Daniel found that the key to his success was spirituality, a connection with Jesus that he developed and practiced 3 times a day. And even though they made a law which put him in the position of having to make a tough decision whether to live or die and stick with God's law or compromise. And by the way, he could have compromised. He could have compromised with the thought, well, you know, if just in this one little area, you know, because I'm such a witness here. I mean, you know, they really respect me and like me. So, you know, in this one thing, I could be more credible to them and they'd listen better. You know, that's the way we're thinking today, by the way. You know that? On many issues in the Adventist church today, our kids cannot afford to continue to see hypocrisy in the church. You teachers are front line. And Daniel said, you know what? My bread and butter has come from my prayer time. If I in any way change my behavior, I'm telling them differently. I'm telling them that there's situation ethics. I'm telling them that there are certain times and certain circumstances where my principles and beliefs are no longer appropriate or pertinent. No, if I change even the slightest, they will not get to know my God. And so as he always did, he went and he knelt. And there they were, the spies, sitting underneath the window, just waiting for him to do it so they could immediately run to the king and accuse him. Daniel did what he did previously. Number 2, notice if you would, verse 13. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunctions which you have signed. But he keeps making his petitions 3 times a day. Hallelujah! A man who stands for principle. A man who stands in the Bible. A man who was so well understood and known that even his enemies admitted to the king, this man does it and keeps doing it 3 times a day. Daniel was a man of integrity. And finally, verse 3, we have already been told he had an extraordinary spirit. Why? Now you tell me why he had an extraordinary spirit. He spent time with God. Either way, if we had time, we could embellish this baby and we could go over to chapter 2 where he told the king his dream. And do you remember what Daniel said to the king? I love Daniel. He looked at him and said, King, I want you to know that I'm going to tell you your dream and your interpretation, not because there's anything in me, but because the God in heaven told me. In other words, even though you may be scratching your head, Daniel was just like you and me. The difference may be he thoroughly practiced his relationship. Therefore, he was ready for any emergency. And he stood on principle. That is integrity. That is integrity. I did a search on the E.G. White. I put Daniel, comma, integrity. And I got 114 hits. Here's 3. Daniel did not long hesitate. He decided to stand firm in his integrity, let the results be what it might. Yes. Wouldn't you like to bring your kids under this kind of influence every day? In the Babylonian court, Daniel was surrounded by the allurement of sin. But by the help of Christ, he maintained his integrity. Now to humanize this, do you know who that is? You people in back, this isn't fair to you, is it? See, our real intention is to punish the people who sin. You know who this is? Do not date me.
It's Ralph Nader.
Thank you. Somebody better know here. By the way, you know what? One of your teachers came up to me and said last night, this is so funny. She said, you must be attracted to older women. She said, now wait, no, please. Because she didn't hesitate so that there'd be any kind of creativity going on. She said, because you married Lon Grusbeck's kindergarten teacher. And I want you to know that I never thought of that till she said it. She was employed by his school. He was the principal of the school and she was the teacher. It was not Lon Grusbeck's kindergarten teacher. Or I really would like older women. She'd be very old. I mean, this is Ralph Nader, okay? And I want to tell you a true story about Ralph Nader, which is very encouraging to me. By the way, I don't fully understand his political bent. I don't care. That has nothing to do with this presentation. So if any of you are going off into any other direction, don't. Back in either the 60s or the 70s, when he rose, he was the first and the original consumer advocate. He so infuriated the largest corporation in the world. And what is that? General Motors. And by the way, I know some of you are highly leveraged in General Motors right now. I'm sure you're just investing away. And General Motors hired the best private investigators and lawyers. And they inspected thoroughly every phase of Ralph Nader's life to get this fly off their back. And they could find nothing to accuse him of. Integrity. The integrity part of teaching. The soul that turns to God for its help, its support, and its power by daily earnest prayer will have noble aspirations, clear perception of truth and duty, lofty purposes of action, and a continual hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Mount of Blessings 84. Let's look at that. The person that turns to God for its help, its support, and its power by daily earnest prayer will have, 1, noble aspirations, 2, clear perceptions of truth and duty, and oh, how our church needs that right now, 3, lofty purposes of action, and a continual hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Mount of Blessings 84 and 85. Isn't that incredible? So under the topic of integrity, we are again being urged to be spiritual. Spiritual is have the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ, you've got to spend time with Him. And if you spend time with Him, you will be a teacher of integrity. No matter how the chips fall. Father in heaven, I want to pray for these wonderful teachers who are becoming my friend, who have been so kind to me in the short amount of time I've been here. And Lord, I want them to know that I hear You pleading with them and calling to them through me, as weak and erring as I am, as undeserving as I am to play such a role. But it tells me how important they are to You. And there may be some in here who are very discouraged. They might even be depressed. They may even be bitter. You know, Satan harasses us because of who we are and what we do. And I want them to be encouraged by these talks, to know that they're part of this group, that Jesus touched Lon's heart to call me. I get to come here and You give me these thoughts and these quotes that I didn't have organized. And it just tells me that everyone in here is of great value to you because the work they're doing is of great value to you. Oh, Father, don't let them be discouraged. Let them see that the real issue here is not making ourselves better, but spending time with you. You're the one that makes us better. So they're busy men and women here, Lord. Some of them are mothers besides teachers. Many of them are wives or husbands besides fathers and mothers and teachers. And some of them carry positions in the church, like deacon, deaconess, head elder. And they might even be teaching in the Sabbath school on Sabbath. And Lord, I want you to help them to find the time to spend with you in spite of their busy schedules, so that they can receive from you the gifts you have to endow them with to be men and women of spirituality and integrity and part of the team here in Washington Conference. Lord, encourage them now. In fact, Lord, who here needs a hug? Give them a hug. And yeah, maybe during lunch somebody will wander down to the beach and you could do it there, Lord. Or maybe tonight they'll go to bed and they'll be laying there in the dark and they'll be thinking. And maybe discouraging thoughts will come and you can hug them then. Whenever it's the best, Lord, just do it. For it is right for us to ask you to give us encouragement, so we can continue to go on knowing it's you that we're serving. So bless to this end. Bless our speakers today. We are so fortunate. And I just pray that as we're all together, no matter who comes and goes, they will look back and say, man, there was an extraordinary spirit in that place. And I really wish I didn't have to leave. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2007. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.